We thank our choir director for letting us participate in the special this morning, too. Appreciate Sarah coming to share with us about Memorial Day. Memorial Day is set aside as a day to remember. A day to remember. To remember those that fought and died for the liberty and the freedom that you and I enjoy today. You know, Jeanette mentioned that there are many countries, there are many folks living in countries where they're not permitted to do exactly what you're doing this morning. Coming to a place of worship, opening your scriptures, and sharing and fellowshipping one with another. And we appreciate those who have given their lives in the defense of this nation and to preserve the freedoms and the liberty that we enjoy. Those that fought and died in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Last year I shared with you the number of casualties from each one of those wars, and I think it was an eye-opener. A lot of men and women have given their lives for the cause of freedom. You may question the war, but it is an insult to the highest degree to question the integrity and the sincerity of those who answered their nation's call to war. One need only visit Arlington National Cemetery and see the tombstones there of men and women, young and old, who have given, as Abraham Lincoln said, their last full measure of devotion, that you and I today may fully enjoy this land of the free and this home of the brave. The English poet Lawrence Bunyan wrote of remembering those that give their lives for the cause of others. He writes, "They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." As one leaves the National Cemetery at Arlington, it is made clear by the cemetery guide, and certainly there's a sign over one of the doorways, if not over the actual entrance of the cemetery, the statement that freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. And remembering the price of freedom shouldn't be just a once-a-year pause of mind for consideration. We ought to remember the cause of freedom every day. And especially today when our men and women are in harm's way, even as we share this morning from this pulpit. We should be thankful every day for the brave men and the women who have gone before, and those that stand watch even now over the safety and the security of this great land, and are, as we speak, somewhere, even now, laying down their lives for others. While our nation is blessed of such men and women of courage, we will never suffer defeat from abroad. While our nation is blessed of such men and women of courage, we will never suffer defeat from abroad. Let me share with you what Abraham Lincoln wrote on one occasion. He writes, "At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, of Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasures of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chest, with a General Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? Abraham Lincoln says, I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Abraham Lincoln was saying very clearly that the downfall of this nation of free men would never come from the intervention by force of a foreign power, but would come by way of self-destruction from within, by way of suicide. How does a nation commit suicide? How is it possible for a nation to commit suicide? Abraham Lincoln also spelled out that very clearly. In an 1863 proclamation for a day of prayer and fasting, Abraham Lincoln wrote, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then, Abraham Lincoln says, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. He could have said that this morning and been right on the money. In Psalm 33, verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. How does a nation commit suicide? It forgets God. It forgets His Word, and it forgets prayer, and rejects the idea that God deals in the affairs of men. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, Nebuchadnezzar received a dream from on high, and he shared that dream with Daniel. And in that dream, God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, and He told him this, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever He will. You believe that today? I believe that today. When man begins to think that he is in charge, that he's the answer to all of life's problems and rejects the Word of God and the worship of God, he sets himself up for a fall. And if this man be the head of state, he sets the state up for a fall. When this happens, it doesn't make any difference how powerful, how courageous, and how dedicated a military force a nation may have. God will bring that nation to spoil. It is imperative that God's people, even in these last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand in the gap for their wayward and their backslidden nation. God calls every Christian to put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith. Memorial Day is a day for remembering those that have died in service to our nation. But for the Christian, it must also be a day of remembering those that have died in defense of the faith. Paul, who was soon to be beheaded for his faith, encouraged young Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, don't give up. Don't give up. Even though trials and tribulations come your way, fight that good fight of faith. Part of the good fight of faith is being a prayer warrior. It's interceding on behalf of others. Interceding daily for those in authority. Rebuking the devil and his schemes to thwart the work of good men. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes to young Timothy, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Did you know that prayer could bring about that for our nation? Prayer, if the church of Jesus Christ were to intercede daily on behalf of this nation and the leaders of this nation, I believe it's very possible that even now we could enjoy that peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. God can do all things. There's nothing that God cannot do. Paul says we need to be praying for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. While many have given their lives for the cause of freedom in this world, as Jeanette shared this morning, Christ gave his life for our eternal freedom. And it is important that Christians see this greater cause and be willing to share this good news while the lost are with the lost before they leave this temporal world. Our fight, the Christian fight, is a fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. Men and women whose hearts are sold out to the devil and his angels. And there is only one way that the Christian church can win such a battle. Turn with me, if you will, in the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 6. How do we fight that battle? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When the children of Israel conquered Jericho, it was not in the power of their might. It was their faith in the Word of God. It was their faith in the promise of God. And it was their faith in the power of God's might. When little David went up against Goliath, David didn't go in his own strength. He went in the power and the strength of the Lord. When the Hebrew children were delivered from the fiery furnace, it was not because of their great power and supernatural strength. It was because of their faith in God and the power of His might. And when Daniel was delivered from the lion's den, or Paul from the bite of the venomous serpent, both were delivered in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do we conduct spiritual warfare today? We conduct it in the strength and in the power of God's might. Verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor of God is truth and righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, the Bible says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but how? By me, exactly. The armor of God is truth and righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of God, as Paul will point out here later in these verses, the armor of God is the gospel message, and our shield is the shield of faith. The armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and our helmet is the helmet of salvation. Paul identifies each piece of this spiritual armor and reminds us that in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I asked the congregation on a Wednesday night, I think it was a Wednesday, it might have been a Sunday evening. I don't think I asked them. I made the statement that there are people in this world that just do not believe that evil exists. But there is evil in this world. There's good and there's evil. And I was reading a document, an article this past week where a gentleman was pointing out that when Edmund Burke said, all that men need to do for evil to abound is for good men to do what? To do nothing. And in that article, it was pointed out that those that advocate evil in the world are a smaller number than those that advocate good. But it's just hard to get the majority of the good to stand up and say, as one individual said once before, "I've had all I can stand, and I'm not going to stand anymore. I've taken everything I'm going to take, and I'm not going to take it anymore." But when we get to that point, we rise up in the power of who? In our own power. You know, we get to the point where we get so frustrated, when we get mad and upset, we're going against the evil in our own power, and it accomplishes nothing. But if the Christian church would rise up in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that little evil is going to run. It's going to run. It's going to run. But you know, it's just like the devil. The Bible says, rebuke the devil and he'll flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you know, that doesn't mean that he's going to be gone forever. He's going to keep coming back and keep coming back until God jerks him up by the stack and swivel, as the Marine Corps says, and throws him in that pit of darkness for all eternity. But we need to stand up in the power and in the might of the Lord Jesus Christ and speak up against evil in this world. Because evil exists in this world. Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," he says, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Once you've done everything that you can possibly do, don't quit. Stand. Paul says, stand. When is the evil day? When is the evil day? It's today. We're living in the evil day. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 16, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Today is the evil day. Today is the day that Satan can still fight. And today is the day that the Christian can still win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is the day that we need the whole armor of God. And once we have on the whole armor of God, Paul says we need to stand. We need not back down. We need to stand. In Psalm 62, verse 6, the scripture says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." The old hymn by John Benson, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Just listen to this just a moment. "Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved." Hallelujah. "In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved." In my Christ abiding, in his love I'm hiding. If I trust him ever, he will fail me never. On his word I'm feeding. He's the one that's leading. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. Lord, I shall not be moved. Paul says, after you've done all, stand. On this Memorial Day weekend, every one of us here in this sanctuary can remember a Christian or Christians who are now with the Lord, who, while in this world, took a stand for Christ Jesus and would not be moved. How easy it is today for us to be moved. How easy is it today for you to be moved? How often today do you step aside to appease the devil? The Bible teaches us that today is the evil day, and today is the day in which we as Christians need to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and not be moved. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, just before Paul was to go and be beheaded for his faith, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can you say that this morning? Have you fought a good fight? Have you finished your course? Well, not yet. Have you kept the faith? Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all of those also that are looking forward to his coming or love his appearing. The Bible teaches us that today is the evil day, but the Bible also teaches us for the Christian, today is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? On this Memorial Day, it's wonderful to look back, and it's a wonderful thing to take time out to remember all of those who have given their lives for the defense of this nation. But it's also an opportunity for you and I to look back and see and give testimony of all of those that we know, Christian brothers and sisters who have given their lives, their whole life, for the defense of the gospel. And you know what? As they have set the example for us, we need to set the example for others. As in the Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about children obeying your parents. Well, you know why children, for the most part, don't obey their parents today? Because for the most part, parents are not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Their example is a poor example. And we need to set the right example. Brother Scott Chestnut and I were talking this week, and I mentioned to him about prayer in schools and how we remembered it back when we were much younger. And Scott had mentioned that Scott, I'm not going to quote you, but I'm going to give the general comment, is that while he loves the idea of having recognition in the schools for our Lord and our Creator, he would just as soon let the schools leave to him the teaching of the Scriptures to his children. And that is so true. We don't send our children to school to learn about the Lord. And let me go you one even better than that. You don't send your children to church to learn how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your children learn how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in your own home. Because what the church does one day a week or even 2 days a week can never satisfy what is done in the home 7 days a week. When you go home to be with the Lord, what will your children remember about you? What kind of memory will they remember? I trust that they'll remember you as leading them in the ways that God would have them to go, that they too, when they have children, they'll do likewise. Amen. Again, to all of those that have gone before us, we applaud them and we appreciate them so much. I trust that we will see many of those in heaven. And they will be in heaven because somebody was probably praying for them. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be good Christian soldiers right here as we wait upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He only is my rock, the psalmist says, and my salvation. He's my defense, and I shall not be moved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you this morning, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that ministers to us. And Father, I thank you for each one that's come this way. Lord, as we wait upon your coming, Father, we realize that there is a work that we need to be doing. And Father, so many times the devil does catch us up and draw us away to things that have nothing to do with bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that we'll commit our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, that we'll live each day to bring honor and glory to you, Father, and also, Lord, that our example might be an example set that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and be drawn to an old-fashioned altar. Be drawn, Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask your blessing upon each one that's come this way. For those that are traveling out on the highways and the byways, Father, we ask your blessing upon them. We just pray, Father, that this day, that you will get praise, get honor, and glory out of each heart present this morning. Father, again, we ask your blessing upon Memorial Day that we will celebrate tomorrow. We just thank you for the sacrifice of others. And we thank you for the greatest sacrifice of all, which was the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world, went to Calvary's cross, poured his blood out there, that he might open the door to heaven for each and every one of us. Father, we thank you. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.